Cincinnati.
Welcome to episode 249 of Cincinnati, the Bengals UK podcast. My name is Paul Hirons. Yes, we are edging ever closer, not only to the NFL draft, which is just around three weekends away, we're also edging closer towards our 250th episode. So that's very exciting for us and hopefully for you as well. Special guest for next week, but I'll let you know about that. Now, it is just me on my Todd today because it's a Sunday. It's 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I've got my cup of tea and my biscuit and I'm ready to rock and roll. Unfortunately, Nathan is probably just rolling in from a night out as we speak. So you've just got me today. Well, that's not strictly true before you'll run to the off button. It is a tradition on Cincinnati that we ask a group of British Bengals fans their opinions on the NFL draft. And our British Bengals draft panel is back again for about, I think we've done this for about 5 or 6 years. So Pete Dadswell, Nathan Sangara, Rory Joe Daniels and Paris Pinney are back in a little while to talk all things draft. And I think it's a really cool thing that we get to hear from British draft fans. We hear so much from our brothers and sisters in the States, and quite rightly too. But it's always nice to hear British draft voices as well, talking about some of the players that they both like and think the Bengals might be looking at. And the guys do come up with some really interesting ideas and names to look out for, because that's all it is at the moment. Names to look out for. Everybody wants to know who the Bengals will be drafting this year. The window is still open. Obviously, Joe Burrow should be back fit and healthy, which obviously dramatically improves our chances of some success this year. Ja'Marr Chase is still on the books. We've still got a good core of players. T. Higgins hopefully will still be on the team come September. So there's no reason why we shouldn't make a big old splash this year. But it's important that we keep topping up the roster with good players. And it goes without saying that you want your guys in the draft to make an impact, and to some extent we got that last year. To some extent we did. Miles Murphy took a bit of time, our first round pick, took a bit of time to get going and to learn the ropes, but he was starting to flash and get more involved towards the end of the season. Charlie Jones, I'm not quite sure what he got, but again he provided a few moments. Andre Yoshivash had a good year, I would say, for a rookie. So yeah, most of our guys that we drafted last year actually contributed, you know. So in some way, really. So we want that again this year. So it's important that the Bengals address some needs, but also top up with talent, you know. So and where are they going to go? That's going to be the big question between now and I believe it's the 26th of April, 25th of April perhaps, Thursday the 25th. They do it now, don't they? The first round is on its own, then it's the second and third on the Friday night, and then it's rounds 4, 5, 6, 7. And we've got 10 picks this year, so there's a lot of stuff to get through, a lot of names to decipher. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Right now, if you go onto our blog, which is bengalsuk.wordpress.com. You'll see that we've announced this year's inductees into the Pub of Honour. Now, the Pub of Honour is a compliment, I would say, to the club's hallowed Ring of Honour that they finally introduced a couple of 3 years ago. And it's meant to hoover up all those sort of, you know, while the Ring of Honour honours the legends, you know, the legends like your Chad Johnsons, your Willie Andersons, your Ken Andersons, your Ken Rileys, your Anthony Munozes, your Paul Browns, etc., etc. By the way, when is Sam Whyte going to be inducted into that Hall of Fame? That's one thing I'm going to be campaigning on quite heavily in the future. It's not even in amongst the nominees at the moment, but I'm going to say it now. I would like to see Corey Dillon and Bob Trumpy, both friends of the podcast, in the Ring of Honour this year. I think they're very deserving people and players. They've done amazing things for the club. But yes, while the Ring of Honour deals with the razzmatazz and the it's usually a Thursday night football game, isn't it? And deals with the legends, and it celebrates the legends and acknowledges the legends, which is really, really cool. The Pub of Honour is something a little bit different, where we acknowledge and celebrate and enshrine moments and experiences and other people that we loved during the season. And it could be kind of quite funny and funny things, moving, poignant things, whatever. So this is the third year we've done it as well, and we've got Ted Karras in there after his hilariously sweary shouting match with the Tennessee Titans fans after our playoff victory. We have got the mic cart in there. I don't need to say anything more about that. That was just an extraordinary thing, wasn't it? We have got British Bengals fan Leanne Fitzpatrick and her dog Seaweed, who celebrated like a good 'un at the AFC Championship game meetup, the first one in against the Chiefs when we won in Manchester. So Leanne and Seaweed are in, and also Joe and Rasha, two British Bengals fans who, on the first trip to Cincinnati in 2022, Joe got down on his knee, I think he did, and asked Rasha to marry him on the banks of the River Ohio. Amazing scenes. So those guys are in. And this year, we've got two more inductees. They are the Cincy Hat, or a Cincy Hat, or the Cincy Hat movement, I guess you say. Again, that's to do with Ted, but got to be careful not to have Ted in there every year. Yeah, the Cincy Hat campaign has just been absolutely incredible, hasn't it? It's just incredible to see the engagement with fans and how that's been going, and the money that they've raised over, I think it's about $1.2 million. Yeah, really incredible and worthy of inducting into the Pub of Honour. And also, we really loved the Bengals injury. A bit niche and a bit abstract, this one, but bear with me. If you remember when Joe Boy Lee Burrow Lee, unfortunately, tore a ligament in his hand, or in his wrist, wherever you want to call it, against the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. I think it was Week 11. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, everyone's friend Mike Florio, kicked up a right old stink about the fact that Joe Burrow was seen disembarking the plane, before the game, that is, disembarking from the plane with a wrist guard on, neglecting to acknowledge the fact that Joe had been wearing a wrist guard pretty much all season, really, and had been throwing well in practice. He contended and argued that the Bengals weren't being very honest when it came to the injury reports, and therefore this was really not great, although what business of his this is, I'm not quite sure. But he was joined by a few other media outlets who had a massive, who just thought it was a huge conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theories in the year 2024? You're joking. No, it's true, listeners. That's right. They were looking into it far more than was necessary, accusing the Bengals of everything. Of course, they were cleared, but Jake Browning, of course, stepped into Joe Boy's shoes and became the starter and did an excellent job. But the week after, week 12, the first injury report, the Bengals put down Jake Browning with a wrist injury, but with a full participant. And we thought that was excellent shithousing by the Bengals. Whether that was by luck or by design, it certainly came across as brilliant stuff. So those are the two inductees this year. We'll be obviously keeping an eye out to see what those slightly irreverent moments and experiences and things and people will be worthy of discussion for next year. We'll be keeping an eye out this year for that. Anyway, right, I'll shut up now. I'm going to slurp on my cup of tea, and you can listen to Peter Dadswell, Paris Pinney, Rory Joe Daniels, and Nathan Sangara. Guys, take it away.
Thanks, Paul. Joining me again this year, Rory, Nathan, and Paris. Hello, gentlemen. We find ourselves back here a year later, and we've got another draft just around the corner. I think you'll agree with me that it's a lot more open this year. I think there are plenty of positions that the Bengals could turn to in the first couple of rounds. And so I think it might be helpful if we look at some of those positions and some of those players. We know the Bengals often will look to draft a year ahead for someone who is for an expiring contract. We know we've lost Jonah Williams, and he's been replaced by another 6'8" behemoth. But offensive tackle looks to be a position that the Bengals might look at, which is quite fortunate because there are a number of them in the first round. And I think the depth falls away fairly quickly after the first round. So let's look at a few offensive tackles. Paris, how about Fashanu, or for our American friends, Fashanu?
Yes, so Olu Fashanu. Yes, he's a left tackle at Penn State, 6'6". 312 pounds. He's got a 34-inch arm length, which is elite reach for position. He registered a 9.49 RAS score, which ranks as the 67th best tackle performance of all time at the Combine. So he's plenty athletic. I mean, at Penn State, he was a two-year starter at left tackle. He didn't allow a single sack in coverage all year. And he's, you know, he's got good drive and power in the run game. He was Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year. He was also a team captain at Penn State. The coaching staff were highly, you know, complimentary of him. They said, you know, they described him as high production and low maintenance. All I would say for the Bengals, prototype tackle, he probably needs to add a bit more mass to his frame, especially, you know, he's not quite the size of the Browns, a left or right tackle. But, yeah, he certainly needs to put on a bit more weight, I'd say. He's an excellent prospect, but I think ideally you'd want to be able to sit him for half or maybe even a full season. He needs to work on his hand usage and leverage, you know, mainly his technique. He still relies on his athleticism a little bit too much at times to dominate his opponents. And, you know, that won't translate in the NFL, especially against, you know, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, et cetera, in the AFC North. So, yeah, but I think in terms of talent and ceiling, you know, he'd be excellent value at 18. I just think predominantly he's going to be a left tackle in the NFL. And I think the Bengals are, you know, they're looking for a right tackle currently. So if they did take him, they'd have to work out what they want to do with Orlando Brown further down the line. But I think, yeah, at 18, it'd be great value.
Or that year of development helps him settle in as a right tackle. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Rory, there's a Washington offensive tackle you quite like. Tell me about him.
Yeah, Troy Fautanu out of Washington. So he was the linchpin of that offensive line for the Huskies last year. they went to the national championship. So obviously he was doing a good job. I get the negatives out of the way first. He's going to be 24, so he's going to be slightly older. That might be something that the Bengals look at. They tend to like fairly young prospects. And the lack of size will obviously play against him as well. 6'4", 317 pounds, so slightly small for a left tackle, and certainly a lot smaller than the two bookends we've got currently in the Browns. So that's the drawbacks for the Bengals. However, arm length of 34.5 inch, so he hits that threshold of 33 inch that we say for offensive tackles. So he'll have that length to be able to sort of, you know, fend off edge rushers. And he had an absolutely barnstorming combine performance. All of his testing was in the 90th percentile for his position. And you see that in his movement skills and ability and moving around the field. Excellent speed, operates well. He can get to the next level. Most of his college experience is at left tackle. However, his frame projects, you could put him into the interior as well. So you could use him at guard and even potentially center. That could appeal to the Bengals because he could push Cordell Volson at left guard for a spot early on in his first season. And then you could look to transition him out to right tackle in the future instead of Trent Brown. And obviously he could also play swing tackle because we know that Trent Brown's had injury struggles. So to have that sort of backup as well, that would be a good thing for the Bengals. Elite pass blocker, 88.4 per PFF in 2024. He's had 1,845 college snaps and he's only allowed 3 sacks in all of that. On film, what I like best is his nasty streak. He drives people into the ground and he finishes blocks. So, yeah, I'm really impressed with him.
Yeah. There's an offensive tackle that contrasts him quite well, and that's J.C. Latham of Alabama, and I've been looking at him. Unlike the two previous ones we've spoken about, he's a right tackle. He is only a right tackle. He's only played right tackle, which will probably be right up our street. 6 foot 5¾, so he's a really good height. 342 pounds, so he's a big boy. And unlike Fatawnu, he's young. He'll only be 21 in his rookie season, and we know the Bengals like youth. So 3 years playing at the highest level of the SEC, credited with just conceding 2 sacks and 6 QB hits. So the production's there again, which is what the Bengals like. He doesn't show his strength as much as I would like. I think certainly getting a year in an NFL weight program will certainly improve his anchor. But at 18, he would be a really good right tackle, swing tackle until next year, and then he'll plug and play as a right tackle. And I think it'd be really good value. If we're talking about large offensive tackles, like this 2 6-foot-8 ones we've got at the moment, Nathan, you like another 6'8" tackle, Mims from Georgia. Tell me about him.
Yeah, big fan of Amarius Mims, the tackle out of Georgia. 21 years old, massive 6'8", 340, so definitely fits the mould of the Browns that we've got as well. So that's having 3 6-foot-8 tackles wouldn't be too bad, would it? Had a 9.5 RAS score, scored like an elite athlete. And the measurements, especially with 36 1/8-inch arms, which is insane testing. So as mentioned, that's definitely the higher echelon, as well as 11 1/4-inch hands. He even ran a 5.07 second 40-yard dash. But for his weight and height, that's pretty ridiculous with even good 10-yard splits as well. Definitely think it'd be a massive physical presence now and going forward as well. Does have a slight concern with injuries. He did have injuries and hamstring during the combine, actually, but I think it's not a major injury, so he should be okay for that training camp and for the season. He did play exclusively at right tackle in college. Another issue, sort of looking at his profile, though, is he played less than 700 snaps in his last 2 years, partially due to minor injuries, but also being behind other highly drafted tackles such as Broderick Jones, who was a first-round pick in 2023. And despite the fact that he does lack experience, but he doesn't play like a raw player, he's more polished than you'd expect. He does have some minor technical issues to work on, namely his footwork and hand placement. But him being a part of a winning program with Georgia, winning a national championship, might have won 2, actually. I don't think he was there for both of those years they won. As well as playing against SEC level competitions, always going to put you in good stead going into the NFL. And I think him sitting behind Trent Brown for a year could add some more heft to the biggest tackle room in the NFL, with an eye on the future to protect Joe Burrow for years to come.
Yeah. Are we really going to draft him, though? Because that's going to require Mike Brown to put his hand in his pocket and widen the door frames of the offensive tackle room. I mean, it's going to be a huge room. As you said, there are other offensive tackles, but I think if we leave it there and look at other positions, because as I said at the beginning, it may well be the Bengals look for their cover tackle later in the draft and look at some of the other talent that's around. We're expecting perhaps only one more season of T. Higgins, sadly, and therefore it may well be that a wide receiver will be targeted very early in the draft by the Bengals. There's certainly a first rounder who would be there at, you'd expect him to be there at 18, that you like, Rory, isn't it?
Yeah, Brian Thomas Jr. would, you'd hope would be there. There's no promises with wide receivers. Obviously, we've got the big three that will probably go early on, and then Thomas would likely be the next one off the board. Like we said, it's not an immediate need, but it's future-proofing. So it's something that the Bengals like to do, potentially losing a big asset in T. Higgins, having Thomas there, getting him ready into the system, and obviously supporting those two guys before having to come to the fore next year would be ideal. He projects as a replacement for Higgins, which would allow Jamar Chase, obviously, more time in the slot, because obviously we've got Higgins and Thomas would be quite electric on the outside, and Chase in the slot would be very interesting. He's got great size, 6'3", 209 pounds, and elite speed, 4.33 40-yard dash. And it shows on the tape. He did 85% of snaps on the outside, a real deep threat. And I'm going to give you a few stats that we've got. I don't want to bombard you, but he scored 11 touchdowns at an average of 45.1 yards per reception on 18 deep passes that he received last year. So that's anything over 20 plus yards. So that's 11 touchdowns on 18 of those. And that earned him a 99.9 PFF rating purely on deep passes. So you can see the threat he offers downfield. He's nearly unplayable. Went over 1,000 yards receiving, even in an offense that features Malik Nabers, who's going to go top five, top 10, almost certainly. So he was still able to carve out that amount of yardage, even though he was next to Nabers. He led the nation with 17 touchdowns. And like we said, mouthwatering trio with Chase and Higgins allows him time to develop in our system. The depth at the position at receiver in this draft means that he could be available for us. And the only thing that I have concerns about is if we don't address receiver early on, is this type of player going to be available down the line? I know there's a lot of good slot options in rounds 2 and 3, but really to have somebody that this physically dominating and this fast, are we going to get it later in the draft? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, if we drafted him, his ability in the deep ball will result in an amendment to the previous meme, the Burrow meme of F it, Thomas is down there somewhere. If it's pass catcher that we're looking at, of course, there's someone else that a lot of Bengals fans are loving the idea might drop to us and might draft, almost like kid in a sweet shop. If Bowers, the Georgia tight end, well, he is a tight end, but he's a glorified slot receiver in essence. Nathan, you love him, don't you?
Massive fan, to be honest. One of the better tight end prospects that's come out in recent years, up there with the likes of Kyle Pitts, just in terms of pre-draft hype. He is 21 years old, 6'3 and a half, 6'4-ish, 240 pounds. He hasn't tested, but it's one of those situations, a little bit like Marvin Harrison, where he kind of knows he's going to be one of the top draft picks, so he doesn't really need to test. And he's shown to be a top-level athlete on tape, so I don't really think that combine testing is going to do too much to help him or hurt him at this point. Similar to Amarius Mims that I talked about earlier, he's part of the back-to-back national champions for the Georgia Bulldogs. And as I mentioned, seeing as one of the best tight end prospects in the last several years, I do think that tight ends have become more crucial, especially playoffs and also in big games in general. You look at the last four teams left in the playoffs last year. You had Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Mark Andrews, and Sam Laporta, which were all massive contributors. Apart from Andrews, but obviously his was due to an injury. So having a mismatch option could be massive for the Bengals going forward. With the void being left by Tyler Boyd in the slot, Brock Bowers can operate massively in there, and he's a proper threat with run after catch. Also has really good ball skills as well, with his drop rate below 5% for his career. He's a little undersized for a tight end. Still a winning blocker, though. I think he's better than people think he is. He's not a great blocker, but he's not a terrible one either. And with him being so young, he's got time to develop in that. And I don't think he's a major liability in it. So I think he'd be a good long-term tight end option for the offense. And it could allow us to evolve a little bit. Like, our offense has been great, but at the same time, you need to constantly evolve in the NFL. And the Bengals having an elite level tight end could be massive alongside Ja'Marr Chase going forward. So, especially with T. Higgins leaving, it could be another way to sort of change things up a little bit rather than trying to groom another right wide receiver there. Bringing in guys like Bowers could definitely help massively.
It's interesting to see whether or not we're going to be looking at replacing Boyd as the slot receiver. Gesicki plays a lot there, and if they did go and look at, as Bow, for Bowers, Bowers is in essence a slot receiver to replace Boyd. Okay, so that's two positions we've covered for expiring contracts. There is one other position where we have an expiring an expired contract. Paul is the biggest fan of DJ Reader, so Paul, you're going to have to bear with us on this one. I'm sorry, we're going to have to talk about the loss of DJ Reader and his replacement. And there are players that that are draft worthy for the Bengals to replace him. I know that you particularly like Murphy at Paris. Tell me about him.
Yeah, so Byron Murphy from the University of Texas. He's a 6 foot, 297-pound defensive tackle. He's got 32 and three quarter arm length and reach, so sort of average for the position. He produced a 9.08 RAS score at the combine, so he's a good, if not elite, athlete, but he is good for the position. He started 14 games last season, producing 8.5 tackles for loss and five sacks, and he was a first team all Big 12 conference player. I'd actually say that he profiles very similarly to our new signing, Sheldon Rankins. He's that sort of perfect hybrid between sort of DJ Reader and BJ Hill. He's an excellent gap shooting, pass rushing defensive tackle, but he's also good against the run as well. So yeah, I think he profiles very well. And I think with a bit of coaching, he could be an elite pass rushing three technique who's also good against the run as well. My only issue with him is that at 297 pounds, he's slightly undersized, and he may well have already maxed out his frame, and I'm not sure if he can put on much more weight per se. But in the run game, in 1v1, he's very good. But I did notice that in double teams, he can get absolutely, can get swallowed a bit and washed away. So if he isn't playing next to a true sort of space eating nose tackle, I think that's sort of an area that teams like the Ravens, Browns, Steelers could, potentially expose, especially in, early downs or when they're in heavy packages with tight ends and fullbacks. But I mean, as an overall, I love him as a pass rusher, and I think he'd be, very good value at pick 18. I just think that if they were to take him at 18, they'd potentially have to look at nose tackles, further along in the draft.
I love Murphy as well, and one of my favorite techniques he's developed, especially in double team, is he gets so low that he actually sinks down onto one knee, so the offensive line struggle. He gets underneath them and he gets the leverage, and it's been really, really effective. You talked about him benefiting if he was along alongside a nose tackle, and the nose tackle he played alongside is the fellow I've been looking at. That's Devondre Sweat of Texas. He's a nose tackle. He is nothing else. He has played three tech. The te Texas line mixed it up and not, sometimes played Murphy as the nose and Sweat as the three tech. But in build, he is the nose tackle. Sweat is a huge nose tackle, 6 foot 4 and a half. He's 366 pounds. I think there's only been three or four people ever weighed in more at the combine. 33 and a quarter arm length, which is 52nd percentile, so that's really good. He doesn't just plug the gap, he blocks out the light. What I like about him is that he's a an ascending player. There were issues about his aggressiveness, his ability, counter moves, and his conditioning. But each year that has improved. Last year there was a marked improvement in his conditioning. And again, just as I said with Latham, a year in an NFL weight program will undoubtedly help. He's not 18. He will get overdrafted because there aren't many nose tackles out there, but 18 would be a huge reach. But if he's there at 49, I would be very, very interested in him. Okay, so I think those are a good number of players that might be interesting, Bengals. Are there any others, maybe in the later rounds, that have caught your eye? Nathan, you talked about Bowers as a tight end. I think you like another tight end who may be a day two, possibly day three.
Yeah, definitely see it as a position that the team need to have a long-term option for. And a guy that I like maybe late day two, early day three is Ben Sinnott, a tight end out of Kansas State. He's only 22, so he's one of the... He's not old, but he's not young either. He's in that sort of middle range in terms of your age profile. He's 6'4", 250. He did test like an elite athlete at the combine, and he's actually lined up in all tight end positions, including being in the backfield as a blocker as well. You could kind of look at him a little bit like a discount Brock Bowers, seeing him as like a late day two option. So especially having that comp pick for the Jesse Bates move last year, definitely could see as an extra pick you can use to maybe groom a future tight end option. I do like Ben Sinnott as a potential option there as a player for us going forward.
And a couple of wide receivers, because there looks like there is a need for one. Paris, you're a big fan of Troy Franklin, aren't you?
Yes, I do. I really like him. He's 6'2", wide receiver from Oregon. He's around a buck 180, so he's quite light. He's got a light frame, but you know, he's an exceptional deep threat. I think he gives me sort of Marvin Jones vibes, actually. I think he, you know, he projects as, I'd say, a very high-end wide receiver too. And I think he'd be a good complement to Jamar Chase. So, yeah, I like him on the outside.
Rory, has anyone caught your eye?
I think a couple of guys. McKinley Jackson, Texas A&M, he's going to be somebody sort of in the mid-rounds. It feels like everybody's on the Tavondre Sweat round two vibe. And I get that, but there's a big chance that he might not be there when we come round to pick in round two. And if that's the case, somebody like Jackson, there's not loads of nose tackles in this draft, and Jackson's probably the next closest thing. So if they can wait a couple of rounds, a guy like him who's highly touted coming into college, perhaps didn't reach potential that was expected, but maybe we can tap that out of him at the next level.
Excellent. Is there anyone else that you want to bring to the table before we finish this off? Anyone who, on all the hundreds of mock drafts you do every weekend, that you always try and pick if he's there? Anyone?
I'll chuck in a couple of cornerbacks. Cam Hart out of Notre Dame, really long, athletic cornerback. Try and target him sort of late day two, early day three. And the other guy was TJ Tampa, again, outside corner, second round you'd be looking at. And I think it's a position we do need to address. We are quite young at it, and we could probably do with another body in there.
Yeah, but we can't have a TJ in the defensive back room. We only have DJs, don't we? Nathan, you like Javon Baker, don't you?
Javon Baker, yeah, another guy that I kind of like, was a wide receiver option, sort of late day two, early day three, sort of in that range again, maybe could fall to the fourth round pick potentially. But out of UCF, the wide receiver, was it actually a transfer out of Alabama, 22 years old, with 6'1", 202. I think he's quite a clever route runner, and you can play him on the outside as well. So maybe someone you could groom to be a future T. Higgins placement. Maybe he's obviously not as big, but has some differing skill sets that can make him a good player. Maybe earlier on as a wide receiver three option, maybe. And yeah, he's got the 5-star pedigree as well. So maybe a guy you could look to replace T. Higgins in 2025, potentially.
Nathan, you firmly believe that a running back will be picked at some point on the 3 days. Who have you got your eye on?
Yeah, I don't think that just having Moss and Brown will be enough, even with Travion Williams, the third option. I do like a potential guy you could look to groom as a future number one back, potentially. And the guy who I think that's got the best potential to be a full three-down running back is Trey Benson out of Florida State. Only 21, he's 6'1", 223, and he's borderline a complete player. I don't see how has any major weaknesses in his game, other than the fact that he did have a horrendous knee injury, but it was in 2020, and he's bounced back massively, especially in the last couple of years. A guy who can see being a good mix with Moss and Brown initially, and I think eventually could emerge as a future first, second and third down running back, and a guy that can really take the load, and I think could be an excellent option going forward. So I do like him as a potential prospect, maybe third round potential if we he falls to us there.
Excellent. Excellent. I think we are set up for a very, very interesting 3 days of the draft. Obviously, day one will be the big one. Hopefully, we can get more out of our round one pick than we have in recent times. But the Bengals' way is the Bengals' way. They will happily draft someone and make them sit for most of the year. But that doesn't minimise the excitement that we'll have. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for your input again. And I'll see you in 12 months' time.
There we go. Huge thanks to Pete, to Paris, to Nathan, and to Rory for once again prepping us for the NFL draft. We had some familiar names and some not so familiar names. I was really interested to hear Rory's picks for cornerback. TJ Tampa's one that I've had my little eye on. Nathan's running back choice, that was interesting. And of course, the big lads up front. And we're hearing that the Bengals really are, in terms of visits, they're hosting a lot of the big chaps, both on both sides of the ball, actually. Both on the offensive line, so you likes the likes of Amarius Mims has been into Cincinnati. Tavondre Sweat has taken his massive ass into the Queen City, and also the guy that I have. He's one of my guys. I'll reveal this now. I'm going to sort of say, give you a bold statement or a you know, a hot take or whatever it might be per episode in the lead up to the draft from my perspective. And McKinley Jackson is one of my ones to watch this year. I've had my eye on him, and I tell you why, because the likes of Byron Murphy and Jazane Johnny Newton are obviously going to be first round talent, although Newton seems to be falling a little bit. I'm not sure why, but Byron Murphy seems to be the consensus best defensive tackle out there, as Nathan said in last week's, well, no, last episode, actually, it's not last week, only a couple of days ago when we spoke to Sam Monson from PFF. Nathan kind of said that Byron Murphy, that's one of the guys that he's talking about and looking out for, because he's a bit of everything, isn't he? He's twitchy, good at rushing, he's got some pass rush ability from the inside, and he's got some run-stopping ability as well. Newton is a pure three technique, i.e. likes to, you know, gives you some real pass rush and some twitch and some disruption on the inside. Now, there is a debate who the Bengals should go for at 18, quite obviously, especially on both sides of the ball, especially in the trenches. Should it be an offensive tackle? Or should it be a defensive tackle? And I'm edging towards offensive tackle at the moment, because I think the depth in rounds two and three, perhaps even, is better for defensive tackle. You're looking at the likes of Chris Jenkins and Michael Hall and my boy McKinley Jackson. You've also got Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo. But the LSU guys, again, it depends what you're looking for. And I do think the Bengals could do, even though they've signed Sheldon Rankin, I think they could do with a bit of both. They could do with a pure nose tackle to replace DJ Reader. And that's when your Tavondre Sweats come into play. And also a bit of hybrid, bit of, you know, pass rushing juice in there. Maybe Rook or Araho. Easy for me to say. That's the first time I've said it out loud. I say it in my head and it's fine, but when I say it out loud, not so good. But he might be in play, Tavondre Sweat. So what I'm saying is the depth, I think, is better there for defensive tackle than it is for offensive tackle, which I think really takes a dip after you get through those first six or so guys. So I would be looking at Mims, at JC Latham, you know, those sort of guys. And my favourite is Fuaga. Faltanu, as the guys mentioned there, might be one. But he, again, it's kind of like this. It's, you want to tackle, right? And Faltanu is projected to move inside at the NFL, which is fine if you take a good player, you know, good player. But if you want a pure tackle, then maybe it might be worth staying away from him a little bit and concentrating on Mims. Now, obviously, with Amaris Mims, he's not got a great sample size. All the athletic talent in the world looked like $1 million when he did play, but he's still very inexperienced. But I think you might be able to get away with that because you've got Trent Brown. The signing of Trent Brown doesn't pin you down as much. You can get a bit of a guy, a rough diamond that you can polish up and sit behind Trent Brown and learn the ropes and ally everything that he has already to the NFL. Hopefully he gets it. So I wouldn't be against taking Mills. JC Latham is a pure right tackle. So, but yeah, my guy is Fuaga. I like him a lot, and I think he's for me the pick of the bunch. And sometimes he's there in mock drafts, and sometimes he isn't. So we'll have to wait and see. Well, wouldn't you just know it? Breaking news. Well, it is breaking news here on a Sunday evening now in the UK. So before I put this out, it's worth mentioning that monster defensive tackle Tavondre Sweat has been caught by the fuzz, which is obviously quite painful, but in this instance quite stupid, really, getting caught on a driving misdemeanor when you're 3 weeks out from potentially the biggest moment of your kind of life, I guess, is just almost beyond comprehension, really. So he's the big lad has not played a blinder. Now, whether obviously Pete was talking about him quite a lot in a draft panel there that you just heard. Now, whether this will affect his interest, who knows, remains to be seen. But you've got to think that, and there's some reports actually coming out on the old socials, that Sweat has allegedly been talking about his partying lifestyle with anyone and everyone that is willing to listen, saying that he's a reformed party goer. But this seems to contradict those sentiments as much as possible. So Tavondre Sweat will probably drop down some draft boards, I would imagine, some red flags suddenly being waved in his general direction now. Now, that obviously doesn't affect the kind of player he is, but what about the psychological makeup? What about the character side of things, which, as we know, and certainly with ever since Zach got here, character, high character guys, team captains, are big on the agenda when it comes to the draft. So thought I needed to put that in. Silly old sod, really. Silly old sod. So we'll watch that situation with interest. Okay, so huge thank you once again to Pete, to Rory, to Paris, and to Nathan. And we might speak to them a little bit afterwards, after the draft, see what they think of the Bengals selections, whether they are good, whether they, you know, there's a discussion point to be had. Are they going to use their 10 picks solely for themselves, or are they going to package them up to kind of, you know, move up and down a little bit? I wouldn't expect that in the first, although it makes sense for them to move down a touch in the first to see what they can get in the second and third, perhaps. But yeah, it's everything's in play at the moment, and that makes it fun to discuss. As I mentioned in the last episode, you never know about a cornerback. That might be a bit of a wild card selection at 18. What about a wide receiver? Again, Rory was talking about Brian Thomas there, and we mentioned him in the last episode. He might be around 18, and he's your big guy, speedy, big play guy, huge play guy. Another LSU fella. Maybe he's worth taking. The Bengals love to select weapons in the draft, so you know maybe they'll go there again. I'll talk about wide receivers in another episode because I've got my eye. And quite rightly, they were saying they, as in various members of the media, are saying that it is a wide receiver heavy draft, and I think that will be the case every year. Quite frankly, with the absolute state of the athletes that are being produced now, it's really quite incredible. But yeah, wide receiver depth is great this year, so you are looking at something in the second and third round. Do you try and replace Tyler Boyd with a slot receiver? Do you try and move someone inside? Is that person on the roster already? I'd be looking at a day two wide receiver, because why not? If there are loads of good players out there at the receiver position, why not give Joe Boyd? Why not top up the wide receiver room? Keep topping it up. Keep it as an absolute strength of your roster, especially with Joe Boyd back there. But we'll see. Right, I'm going to go off and do Sunday things. And hopefully I will be back. We'll be back at some point. Enjoy this episode. Once again, thanks to the guys. Thanks for listening. Nathan, our own Nathan Palmer, will be back in the next week's episode, which will be our 250th episode, which is hugely exciting. So until then, it's a big hoo day from me. And it should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed within this podcast do not reflect those of the Cincinnati Bengals organization.